I don't know about you, but I can still remember as a small child waking up in the middle of the night screaming at the top of my lungs in terror because of some nightmare. A little child has so little experience of life, but if they are blessed to be born into a loving family, that child is cherished and well taken care of. The world for that child usually seems a very safe place. Most problems are small ones, and they pass quickly. There may be occasional tears, but few real fears. So, those very first experiences of terror, of those alarms in the night, those dreams of darkness, which from time to time come to just about everyone, are especially painful to the young and the innocent. Where do these bad dreams come from? How do they happen? Was it something they ate? Was it a scary movie they weren't supposed to see but watched anyway? Was it the symptom of an incipient fever or the end of some other childhood infection? I wonder if you can remember your mom, or sometimes both your mom and your dad, running into your room. They held you and comforted you. It's only a dream. Nothing's wrong. You are safe, and we are here with you. Tears were dried, hugs and kisses shared, and you were safe and sound again. After your fear, you knew the safety of family, peace, and love. But not all our terrible fears disappear as we become adults. There are some terrors in this passing life that seem to be dark indeed. Some seem insurmountable. It may be finally seen through our own illusions about ourselves. It may be loneliness or the loss of loved ones. It may be the defeats of our lives, serious sickness, or advancing age, or despair over our sins. There are some things and some circumstances that can still fill our hearts with an almost paralyzing terror. Certainly, the Lord's own disciples knew what it was like to be terribly afraid. On that dark Good Friday, all their hopes seemingly have been dashed. Jesus, for whom they had left everything, had been betrayed, arrested, brutally tortured, nailed to a cross, and then buried in a tomb. The disciples expected a similar fate if the Romans or the servants of the high priest ever discovered their hiding place. But in the pitch black of that Easter evening, on the first day of the week, petrified and trembling behind locked and closed doors, Jesus suddenly appeared in their midst. Beyond all their hopes, more amazing and unexpected than all the miracles they had previously witnessed, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. This was no dream or illusion. He was neither a ghost nor a vision. The one who had truly suffered and died was now glorified and truly risen from the dead, just as he said. And like the most loving and attentive of parents, Jesus comforted all their fears. He assuaged their sorrows, ended the agony of their nightmare, and filled their hearts with the greatest possible joy. Shalom, he said. Peace be with you. Be filled with that comforting peace of salvation, of a promised land provided by your good and loving, provident God who understands all your fears, whose great love is everlasting, whose rich mercy is without end. And then Jesus breathed upon them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them." Once the psalmist had rhapsodized, "You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." And as the Acts of the Apostles reveal, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, through the thundering sound of a roaring wind, through parted tongues of descending fire, the almighty power of God did at last renew all creation. On Pentecost, all the disunion and confusion once manifested in our human fate at the Tower of Babel was reversed and redeemed when from many different tongues, through the awesome power of the Spirit, there is one unified confession of faith that Jesus is Lord. So we really have nothing at all to fear, but we still have a lot of work to do. As St. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and as he challenges us today in this, the church of Peoria, to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. There are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. We are, together, God's servant church. We are the body of Christ. He who has already overcome the world and has conquered sin and death. We really have nothing to fear. Through all the many gifts of the Spirit, we can remain serene in the face of any trouble, even in the face of illness, of persecution, of natural disasters, of wars and rumors of wars. We can be steadfast to all those God has given us to love. We can be faithful husbands and wives, devoted brothers and sisters, good parents and good children. We can be helpful neighbors, loyal friends. We can be zealous priests and deacons and holy religious. Our parishes and ministries can be on fire with the love of God and a passion for good works. We can witness boldly and bring many others to Christ. We can teach and evangelize by everything we say and do. We can be active givers and servers in this world, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, caring for the sick and the aged, the protectors of all human life. And we can be gentle people, eager to bind up the wounds of anyone who is lost or hurting. The grace of God forgives all our sins. It works miracles. It can even raise the dead. And so we are one in Christ, that body that has many parts. For in the one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free, we were all given to drink of that same refreshing Spirit. Certainly, the greatest sign of our unity as God's people, saved by the cross of Christ and sanctified through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is the Mass that we celebrate here together. It is the Spirit of God that illuminates our minds and enkindles our hearts. It is the Word of God, inspired by that same Spirit, that gives us the truth and challenges us to keep changing. It is the Holy Spirit that pleads on our behalf, interceding for the church with words of mystery that reach to the very heart of God. It is the Holy Spirit that changes ordinary bread and wine into the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of our risen and glorified Savior. Through the grace of that Spirit, the Holy Eucharist becomes the bread for our journey, the medicine for all our wounds, the consolation for our suffering, a foretaste of heaven and the antidote to death itself. And that same Holy Spirit can work miracles in our daily lives. Sinners can become saints. The weak can become strong. The fearful can be made bold. The sick can become healthy. The poor can become rich. Enemies become friends. Strangers can be made welcome, and the fearful may be comforted. We can actually, through the power of the Spirit, become what we receive, become the body of Christ, His church on earth, united with all the angels and the saints in heaven. So, like children of God, waking up from darkness into a glorious, unending day, beneath a sun that never sets, may all of us here today welcome the gifts of the Spirit and know for time and for eternity the incomparable peace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.